Sheldon and friends, thank you for the great opportunity to stand in front of you all. So the problem with iPads and all this. Now, one thing, let me introduce myself. I've been in the field for the past, since 1999. Okay? God called me at the age of 15. I just yield to the Lord at the age of 38. Wasted about 23 years of my life trying to make money of my own or to get a good job somewhere. But however, God laid my head, my heart to go to the field. Then I was not, now God called me to China. And it was a struggle, however it was a struggle. When I went to China, before that, okay, way before I go to China, I told the Lord, I said, God, you have made a mistake. Because I'm supposed to fly for you somewhere in maybe in Africa, maybe in South America, maybe somewhere else. I'm a missionary pilot. So I got all my license and everything, but God said, no, you go China. I look at my skin, yeah, China, but I don't speak Chinese. I don't speak Mandarin at all, but God laid my heart, go China. And I learned something in my life, okay? To yield my obedience, in order to yield my ability. Okay? Never yield your ability to the Lord. Yield your obedience or your heart to the Lord. It's more important. Many a time there's things that seem strange, cannot be. Then we will say, no, I'm not, Lord, I'm not going there. Okay, I cannot do that. I have no capability. In God, there's no impossibility. And He wants to use me in China. Then I finally realized, and I cried for three nights with the Lord. And when I yield, I have that peace in my heart. So the first time I go to China, into Shanghai, I was an English teacher in one of the universities. And I tried to speak Mandarin to those new contacts. Out of the one sentences of 10 words or maybe 20 words, they understand one. But one thing good about Bible, the Word of God never changes. But I can show them the Word of God. I say, you read yourself. How do you understand? You tell me. And let me tell you in simple Chinese to you. See, I thank God then God raised up some man to be and became a church in Shanghai. And about 3 years, the church was set up. So finally, about 4 years ago, God decided, working my heart, to go to Xiamen. And you can see a church being formed, a new church being formed. It's called Chimei Agape Baptist Church. Chimei Agape Baptist Church. And Chimei Agape Baptist is only about less than 3 years old, maybe 4 years old, less than four. So we are in the third and a half years. But praise God that God moved my heart there. Okay? Again here, God worketh a miracle. When I left Shanghai, there was no pastors. There was no other people coming up to take the work in Shanghai. But God let me say, go Xiamen. And I just obey Him. Go Xiamen. And when I get Xiamen, I book a place for, I rented a place for the meeting. When I returned back to Shanghai, there was none willing to, then there was none to willing to take up to be a pastor. I praise God. I said, God, you are God of impossibility. God that works in the heart of people. And God works in the heart of a gentleman, a deacon. And he called me that 1 week before I left Shanghai. He said, Pastor, God laid my heart. Very important thing I need to discuss with you. He talked to me. I said, I praise the Lord. God is at work at every tiny moment in our life. If you are willing to serve Him, He's going to work miracles and miracles. And this brethren was kind of trained by me for in a month. And after that, before I left Shanghai, he was ordained as a pastor of Shanghai Shalom Baptist Church. Then I left for Jimmy. And Jimmy, now I have a co-worker. His name is Michael Chen. Michael Chen. And he was here preaching in a Chinese evangelistic meeting. Okay, you heard it. And I thank God. God raised people that we never think of. Okay, but God raised people. So I thank God for that great opportunity. Even to be I thank God for ambassador, for being a part of my ministry all the while. Okay? And he's supporting, praying for us, and being an encouragement to us. And I thank ambassador to give me that privilege to be the first Sunday in 2018 to be your preacher. And that is, thank God, that is a great opportunity. I feel privileged, and I thank God for this. I know I'm going to share with you today a message that was maybe was preached during Christmas time. But I was looking from a different angle, an angle that is different. It's talking about the Magi or the wise men. It's the same passage that Pastor Johnny has preached to you. But I would have looked at different angles. And I hope from here, we can really worship the Lord. How shall we react to the Lord? Shall we stand, okay? For reading of God's word, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Okay? The title of today's message is After Christmas, After New Year. How would you present your gifts to your king, your high priest, and your savior? We will read responsively, okay? And that in verse 11, we will read together. Okay. The Bible is in chapter 2, verse 1, Matthew, say, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. When Herod the king had heard this thing, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And they say unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. When they have heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they present unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for this great opportunity to worship you with your truth, with your words. Help us all to be centering our thoughts on thee alone. May your words bring joys and reflection in our life, so that, Lord God, we can turn back our heart to you, to thee alone. May your grace be sufficient for us even to through this moment. Help us to focus on thy truth, and may you'll be uplifted even through the preaching of your gospel and preaching of your truth. May your spirit work in our heart. Help us all to remember and to print it in our heart, your truth. And thank you again for this privilege to share your word. May you humble your servant even as it be used by thee, and every word that me speak spoken here will bring glory and honor to you. And may what we hear here, Lord, may you use to uplift thy gracious and precious name. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Thank you for your love. And we pray in the wonderful name, Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, be seated. Thank you. And you can see here, there is three present, right? Three present. Many people, because of these three presents, that they think there's three wise men. Okay, Bible say wise men. It didn't say how many, but they gave about three types of gifts. Okay, three gifts. Then we have gold, we have frankincense, and we have myrrh. I know your pastor have related to you that relationship with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But more important thing, I want you to see the truth here, okay? By the way, the wise man took a certain time, a certain long time from the place where they depart, maybe somewhere in Babylon, and where the present Iraq is, and come to a place called Bethlehem. And when they come to Bethlehem, they went into a house. Okay, I know they in many Christmas program they depict that wise men came to the manger. Right? You heard, you have saw that. But that's all wrong. Bible says very clear here. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child. Then when they see the young child, they present their gifts. We have gold, we have frankincense, and we have myrrh. By the way, they took the journey for a long period. They took leave from maybe the king. And they are very important people, maybe in the palace. They are magi. They are looking at the star. They can describe the star, how the movement of the, maybe of the earth. And in case from the star, they see. But they were looking for a special star. And it appeared. When they saw the special star, they humble. Can you imagine if you are maybe an advisor to the president, and then you are so important to the country, and suddenly God laid in your heart, you who they are seeking Jesus Christ, him, and you know it is somewhere out there. I must go and search for him. And say, King, I'm going to worship the other king. They have put down their jobs. They have put down maybe their families just to search for the truth. Maybe for us Christians, we have known the truth. We have found the truth. Good enough. But how much have you laid in front of him? How much time have you given to him to know more about him? This wise man did that. They spent maybe 1 year, maybe 1.5 years. I don't know. But journey is a long journey. Then they have no super train. They have no aeroplanes. They have no stagecoach of the Western world. No. They may maybe have cameras. Yes. And it takes time to trek across the desert. Wilderness. They are facing with dangers. They are carrying gold, frankincense, myrrh. These are precious items during that time. They're going to face danger. Thieves, okay, robbers, and maybe even the weather itself. But I thank God, they humble themselves. So my main trust of this today's message, how much have we humbled in front of God? How much? How do we treat Him, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ? The first point I would like to see, know that Jesus Christ is awaiting to rule from His throne, for sure. But before He mount on His throne to be the ruler of this world, He's still awaiting for you to come to His throne. And I thank God for this wise men. They knew exactly in their heart that Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus up there, He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of their life. Because in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, saying, where is that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, are come to worship Him. I want to let you see the wise men, their bravery. They are talking to King Herod. It's a small king of the region. He's talking to him. And he's poking their head at the knife there. They are putting their head. They are going to be, or they be persecuted for that. But no, they're going to tell that King Herod, I'm here looking for King of the Jews. I can imagine King Herod say, who are you looking for? King of the Jews. I'm ruling the Jewish people now. You're looking for who? King of the Jews. In his heart, King Herod. That's why you look further down. In his heart, he's planning to kill this king. So you can see, because of the wise man's bravery and humility, he came to King Herod and said, we are looking for King of the Jews. He knew exactly that this baby Jesus, they're going to find him in the house, and he is the King of the Jews. Because Jesus Christ on the cross was already, when he was on the cross, he was the King of the Jews. In John 19, verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Although this Pilate wrote this, but it is God that moved his heart to write it down. It's very clear. In the Old Testament, he was promised, he was proclaimed the Prince of the Peace. He was proclaimed even way before he was born. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, that Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Even in the New Testament, he was announced to take over David's throne one day. Luke 1, verse 32. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. See, God has already promised Jesus Christ his throne. Jesus Christ came down to this earth so that one day he will rule from the throne. But before that, he ruled from the throne. Know that he's waiting for every one of us here to call him King of my life. The question here is, many of us here, many of our relatives, our friends, to them, Jesus is only a king. Even to Christian, he's only a king. I want you here to emphasize, he is the king of your life. He should be the king of our life. But many a times, he's only a king. We have a lot of other kings in our life. But one day, he will rule from the throne. There you have no other choice but to call him. And the Bible in Revelation 19, chapter 19, verse 11, verse 16. Revelation 19:11, and Bible says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. This is about the future. Jesus Christ will appear to the world, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, successful. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed in a vesture deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the army which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the mighty God. And he had on his vestures, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the king of the many kings in your life. He's the Lord of Lords of many things in your life. He's the Lord. He's the King. He's the only one and only King should be in our life. But I dare to say, many of us down here, even Christian, include myself, at times I put him aside. No, you just only a king. Apart. Let me be my Lord, my own Lord. Right? In decision making, even in deciding to buy this or buy that or to go to this place and that place, we never let him to be the king. Yes, God gave us freedom to have make decision. But don't forget, Christian, you belong to him. The little things that you decide to do, it should be honoring him. If we are not honoring him, then it is wrong. Why did I say that? A little thing like, well, he's the king of my life. Anything I can do. So I go down there to a place where I'm not supposed to go. I want to share the gospel to my friend there. And that's a place where sins are thriving. Bad things are happening. But would you say, God, I will go there to tell others about Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, I'm doing it for you. But the king is very clearly saying, live a righteous life. Live an honoring life. live a testifying life. And you go there, God, I'm doing something for you. Lord, let me be the Lord for a moment to help you to gain people to the Lord in this place. I dare to say many of us are doing that. Many of us are doing that. Because you take him just a king. It's not the king. If it's the king say, no, you're not going there. But many of us chose to do that. See, he is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. If the kings of kings, his decision is fine. He's righteous, he's holy. I thank God one day he's going to rule from the throne, Jesus Christ. And the wise man knew it exactly. So, what will be the kingdom like in future? It'll be faithful, truthful, and righteous. Revelation 19, verse 11. Okay? His name set upon him was called faithful, true, and in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. Again here, righteous. Truthful. Okay, and faithful. I thank God his name said it all. King of kings and Lord of lords. Simple as that, said it all. He should be the king. Why is there a need for this kingdom, you may ask. Why talk about future? This talk about millennium. In a year of 1,000, Jesus Christ rule on this earth. It doesn't happen now. It had not happened. It's not begin in this era. It will day when Jesus Christ come down and rule this kingdom. Because, very clear, God promises to Abraham and King David, that it will happen. I know many nations, many groups of people like to annihilate the Jews or the Israel from this earth. Okay. First, Hitler tried. Now, a lot of other races try. Despite the world try to eradicate them, God is still working. God will keep his promise to Abraham that it will happen. And Bible is very clear, saying, no nation, no people can take away the promise of God. In Isaiah 60, verse 20 to 21, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. The days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. One day in the millennium, they shall inherit the land forever. And after the millennium, there's a newer and new earth. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. So God may be glorified through that period. When is he kept his promise? God is mighty. You see, Jesus Christ is waiting to rule from the throne. But while waiting to rule from the throne, he is urging us Christians to let our relatives, our friends, to come to know him so that they can enjoy the millennium and eternity. Then only can he. So crisis. And the second point, that God is awaiting us to worship him. You see, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, in Matthew, chapter 2, verse 11a, and when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his child, and fell down and what? Worship. And I hope you come down here, we have a worshipful heart. When you come to church, you come with a worshipful heart. If you don't come to worship, please don't come. I dare to say, please don't come. Many of the time we come to church, but I to show Pastor Johnny I'm here. Or did they to tell my family that I'm in church every Sunday. No. When we come to church, we come to worship. I still remember when I was young. Okay, we are young Christian. And I come to church and was worshiping the Lord. And suddenly my friend beside was talking. He said, please concentrate on worshiping my Lord. You know what I mean? But God is awaiting that. Our worship is not only on Sunday. Our worship is on every day. See, when the Magi first saw Jesus Christ, they straight away worship him. You know, their worship full heart is not just because on that day they begin at where they come from. When they sacrifice together, because they have worship full heart, they willing to endure the long journey to come and finally saw Jesus and kneel in front of him, worship him. Worshipful heart start from the beginning. If you don't have a worshipful heart in the beginning, you come to church, you'll be empty. When they worship Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God. I know there'll be people who say, argue with, hey, if he's God and man, then it's 50-50%. No, it's 100% man and 100% God. It's only Christ became man, is God clothed in humanity. Well, when we talk about this frankincense, where the frankincense is used to worship the Jehovah God. It is used for worshiping. During the Old Testament, they will put an altar of incense, and they feel the aroma to the whole room. That God smells it as if it is so nice. It's appropriate. It's righteous. I can accept that worship. Likewise, our worship too must be in the right mood, right attitude. Must be right. Sometimes we come to church with a wrong attitude. We want to worship it. No way. Only you will know. Or you come to church with a grudging heart, that you disagree with this guy. I disagree, but I come to worship the Lord. It's already a no-no to the Lord. God will never accept that worship. That's why Christ in the Bible declared, please settle your problem first, then come to the church and worship. Many a time we don't. We need to have a worshipful heart. Yeah. By the way, in the Jewish culture, frankincense is a banned item in their household. It's only used by the priests. If they have a frankincense, they say, no, you cannot have. You cannot worship at home. You will worship as a nation. Strange, right? It's a ban. Till now, it's still the same. Okay, frankincense is banned in Jewish household. And it's used for worship. So you, in a sense that you worship as a body. It reminds me, Ambassador Baptist Church, when you come to worship the Lord, you worship the Lord in as a body. If there is disagreement among this church, the way you worship the Lord, as God said, I cannot. I could not accept that. So it's very clearly, you worship as a body. And I thank God, God has proven himself. again, that even I try to write this verse here, or a song, or you can call a poem. Okay, he slept in the boat's end in the storm. He showed his humanity. Christ become man. Okay, he stilled the water and the storm. He showed his deity. He cried at Lazarus' death. He proved his humanity. He called Lazarus to come out. He proved his deity. He thirsted at the wellside. He presented his humanity. He forgave the woman at the well. He presented the deity, his deity. He died on the cross of Calvary. He declared his humanity. He conquered death and resurrected. He declared his deity. I hope he's 100% human to you. But remember, he's 100% God. If he's 100% God, we need a worshipful heart. Just now we were saying, what a friend we have in Jesus. I praise the God. I praise God that he called us friend. But be advice, okay? I hope in my our heart we will not call him friend. We will call him Lord God. Because if he is a friend to you, do you treat him as a friend, you will negotiate with him many things. When he's king and lord, you will not negotiate with Lord God. King, whatever you say, I'll do. Got it? It's different. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. The third point, the heavenly child awaits to be your savior. I'm speaking to those who are not saved, or some who have been saved for a long while, that you've forgotten that Christ was your savior. Okay? When you say a myrrh, it's talking, you will think of the cross, death. Okay? And in Matthew 19, chapter 2, verse 11, same thing, they came down and worshiped him with all this present. Okay? By the way, myrrh is a spice used to embalm dead body. To embalm dead. To make it will not be rotten that fast. So it can be made into a liquid. Okay? It's very expensive item. But to make a kind of a rock style, to make into a liquid form, it takes a long process to make that, okay, into embalm, to embalm the dead body. Okay? So remember, if you give a present to people, never give more. God's myrrh is kind of preparing for death. So remember, preparing for death, okay, you don't give wrong item in our life. You know why? Once there was a husband who gave a bouquet of flowers. He would say, it's my wife's birthday. What shall I bring to her? So she go to the supermarket and saw, wow, chrysanthemum. It looks nice. Blooming, brought the blooming, the chrysanthemum flower gift to the wife. You know, it was wrong. You never present a chrysanthemum flower to a person who is alive. You present to, let's say somebody died, you need to bring some chrysanthemum flower and put it of the wake, right? You will never present. So he was given a hard time. Likewise, okay, we will never give a artificial flower as a birthday gift, or to symbolize, especially boyfriend, you give an artificial flower gift to your friend, happy Valentine's Day. Never use an artificial flower. Because artificial artificial flowers are used for graveyard. I know some people have used it in their house permanently, but normally in America they use them on graveyard. You can see that all the graveyard, the flat, you can see a lot of flowers. Okay? Everlasting flower, artificial flowers. Okay? So something that gives you must present. Myrrh was used to embalm a dead body. So when they present dead body, so when the wise men present the gift to Jesus Christ, he was trying to, Jesus, you're going to die for me. Thank God for that. So Jesus was announced to be the Savior of this world. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, okay, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, not just me, okay, a Savior, which is Christ our Lord. Okay? And many believe because of the woman at the well, when Jesus, when he announced. And in John 4, verse 42, and he said unto the woman, now we believe. The group of this woman was healed of her sins. Then she go and tell the town people that Jesus was the Messiah, and he came. And the people said to him, and say unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior. You see, when you look at the word, the Savior of the world, he's going to save everyone on this earth. But he never forced the people to believe on him. Not like other religions. He never and never will force someone to believe it. I'm the Savior, you must believe it. No, he will not do it that way. He'll give you your own volition, your own decision to make it. Yes, I want you to be my son. But his desire that everyone to get to be saved. But he will not force us. I thank God when he died on the cross, it is completed. He said, it is finished. The saving work has been finished. So the heavenly child is awaiting to be your Savior. If he's already your Savior, is he your King? Is he your high priest that presenting your case to God the Father every day? So we can see these wise men, they took time to endure the journey. Why did they do that? Why were they able to endure? Because when it started, they humbled themselves. Second, they have a worshipful heart. The moment they come, they go through, they are willing to go through dangers. And when they see Jesus Christ, they were overjoyed. That relationship is fantastic. Okay? And this morning I'm sick, I told you, okay, during the Sunday school hours. When someone got saved, you should be rejoicing. When you saw Jesus, let's say I see Jesus personally, I should be rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And someone become a child of God, we should be singing, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The heavenly host will be singing, Hallelujah to Lord God himself. This type of attitude we should have. When we come to see Jesus, we should have. And how do they do that? How did they able to? Because their love, they love the Lord God, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their mind and with all their strength. Are we able to? Definitely we are able. But not only this, God gave us, this is a command to us. This is the first commandment, Jesus said that. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than this. I was looking up down. Eh? Love myself? No. He said, love God first. Second, love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't even say, love thy God, love thyself, love thy neighbor. Not at all. You see, the self is left out totally. It's automatic, you care for yourself. But I say you care for yourself, put it second. That's why the Bible is very clear. The person who God called him, you love your father, mother, your relatives more than me. You are not fit to be my disciple. Because why? Because the first law is very clear. Love thy God with all thy heart. If you God have called you to do something, okay, if you really love God, go and do. But how about my father, my mother, their needs there? I know they have needs. But you're willing to yield to the Lord. You think God will not support them, help them, and care for them? Have we had any doubt with God? Yes, sometimes we doubt God can do that. God, no. I'm going to follow you, Lord. But let me settle this one. And let me be the Lord for this situation. Finish off, then I follow you. God said, you're not fit. Many of us are doing that. Brother So sitting, standing here. Last time was doing that. Lord, I can earn money for you. I make money. Money, 10%, no, I give to you, Lord. Go to church, help this one, do this, that. Okay, God, let me, my family, number one. Yes, love God. No, Bible say, no. Bible is near, say, and thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, or half-hearted, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all, not part, all, okay, and with all thy strength. I thank God for this. All. Not 90%, but all. Only then can you love your neighbor. Only then can you love. You know why sometimes we reach out to people, we could not reach out to them, we pray for them, somehow they did not get saved, relative, friends, problem, because in the first place, you never love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. He gave me help. Yes, God is still merciful, will save them one day. But it's very important that we give our heart to him. So, you see, this wise man can able endure because their heart was right. Okay, if they have not loved the God, their God, with all their heart, they will not embark on the journey. And with not all their souls, they will not give up all these things. All their mind, with all their strength, went through the journey. And I hope all of us here are willing to go and do this. Just worshipful heart. They have a worshipful heart. That's why they have this. In conclusion, actually, what we have talked about settled the main issue of life. How much of our heart was owned, is owned by God? How much of your heart you put God as King, Lord, or even Savior? The wise men came not to play or to carry out their baby. Kuchi, kuchi, baby, you're so cute. No, not at all. Not at all. They came to worship and to present their gift, their heart gift to their king. Christ, the true kings of their life. Christ, the only God of their life. Christ, the personal savior of their life. And I hope in 2018, let the Lord Jesus Christ become the true king of your life. The only God, no part God, only God, and true, total God, and the truly your personal savior. If it's your savior has saved you, why are you enjoying the other things that he has saved you from? The best gift is to present our Lord. It's Romans 12. I hope you'll read together. 1, 2, 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Very clear. Present our body, living holy, acceptable, acceptable unto God. And I hope this year, 2018, our life, my life too, will be acceptable to the Lord. I will bring the gifts. I'll start with a humble heart. I'll start with a worshipful heart. I'll start with an enduring heart, so that the Lord may be honored. Not because I've done something, but because he has completed his own job. Through me, through you. I hope this year will be a bountiful year and a blessed new year to Ambassador Baptist Church. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for your grace. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given the wise men the humility in their heart, the worshipful heart. They not only came from afar, they came to put Jesus Christ, the only true king of their life. That Jesus Christ become the only God of their lives. Not only that, only Jesus Christ, the only personal savior. God, may you grant us this time heart to help us to be mindful of your presence. While you close your eyes, let me just ask you a certain question. I know word of God will speak to hearts. Even simple words speak to heart. There's so many verses that speak to me. And I hope it speaks to you. And if it speaks to you, that you tell the Lord, God, this year 2018, I will renew my love to you. May you grant me this heart of humility, a heart of worship, a heart that can endure the challenges. If you will decide today that I'm going to do that, may I see your hand so I can pray for you. Can I see her? Praise the Lord. I saw one hand. I saw one, two. I saw many. Thank you, God. And I hope you worship the Lord in this year with a right attitude and present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Okay? For those who have came in, maybe first time visitor, maybe you say, I've not known this God yet. I've not really have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, preacher, may you help me to understand more. I'm willing to learn of him. And I hope you'll be truthful to yourself that you have not personally known Jesus Christ and you wanted to. If you are that man or that lady, you would raise your hand so that I get some counselor to reach out to you after this service. I hope you'll be truthful to yourself. Is Jesus Christ your Lord, your King, and your Savior? If it's not, you want Him to be. And I hope you'll be honest to yourself. I have not asked Him to come to my life to be my Savior. If you want to, you want to understand more, may I pray for you too. Okay, Father, thank you for your great love, your great truth. Thank you again for the hands that you raised. I pray, Lord God, our commitment to you may be truthful. And this year, Lord, be a year that we can bring glory and honor to your own name through our daily life, even in every facet of our life. May your name be honored. Thank you again for your message. Thank you for the decision you made. Help us all to look to your coming. And may you continue to bless Ambassador Baptist Church. Bless Pastor Johnny and the people of this congregation, that this church can continue to be a great church that will humble themselves, that they will have a worshipful heart. Most importantly, they have a love, not only for thee, but love for friends, neighbors, and colleagues. Grant us that peace. Grant us that love. We pray in the wonderful name, Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.